We've lost a part of the audience that thought the first part of the lecture was too complicated. We'll fool them now by going into some terrifically simple stuff. Well, that's very simple. Well, I'm going to tell you the rest of this on these acts, just to finish it off. After an individual is postulated, of course, after he's postulated that he has got to stop, why, he becomes a liar if he starts again. That's why trying to break a habit is so heartbreaking to an individual. He's already made a postulate which gave him the habit, and now he comes along later and he says he doesn't want to do this, which is a direct negation of himself, and so he doesn't stop the habit. Now, all you have to do to stop a habit is knock out all the times when you decided to have a habit. Have that habit. You'll find out smoking cigarettes, you can stop a fellow from smoking cigarettes in an hour or so. Not much trouble. The whole point is why. I understand that there's an $18 billion research program going on at this present time, which is going to investigate the enzymes in tobacco so as to stop cancer of the lungs. If you were sure that was the cause, and you had $18 billion to spend, you wouldn't be spending it on investigating the enzymes. You'd just say, well, that's probably the cause. Let's just stop everybody from smoking. You could, for $18 billion, probably clear everybody in the United States from smoking without much any trouble. Of course, it'd disrupt commerce, and the Treasury Department of the United States wouldn't like you. It's highly doubtful if these enzymes have any effect whatsoever upon cancer. We've knocked out some cancer in Dianetics, haven't specialized on it to any degree, but evidently cancer folds up rather rapidly. It's a couple of very peculiar engrams clear down at the bottom of a bank. And evidently, just at a guess, when you knock these things, we haven't enough cases to really establish it, when you knock these couple out, why, the fellow doesn't have them anymore. It goes away. But this eighth act, then, it's just to get your pre-clear, moving well on the track, life looks a little better to him. He can get to these facsimiles a little bit better. And all this time, what you've been doing with him is giving him some cognizance of his own wits and how they work. And that all by itself will establish an improvement in an individual. You're building in some confidence in his ability to think. You're showing him things about his mind he didn't know existed. And when he knows they exist, he comes up the tone scale, because the top of the tone scale is I know, and the bottom of the tone scale is I don't know. And all these guesses that he is making are in between. What we call a serious facsimile is just that particular rough experience which a person uses to excuse the things life has done. Well, I was perfectly all right until Agnes left. Yes, everything stemmed from there. I was all right until the bank failed. Since that time, what all he's doing is excusing what he is doing at the present moment. Well, he's using an analytical moment or action there to explain to the rest of life and to himself how he's failing. So, underneath that thing will be an engram, a bad physical experience somewhere on the track. You run that out by effort, it'll show up. Now, there's the real auditing in the case. Right there. You can spend quite a little time in that, because when you've got that gone, it's gone. Now, you can leave the case right there. You could probably leave this case walking, if it hadn't walked before, and so forth. A lot of things you could do to stop the case right there. But you want to fix it up so this case doesn't get sick anymore. Then you keep on from there,
In the 11th act, he's just running out all sympathy on everyone, all demands. He just lock scan out every time an individual felt sympathy for anybody. Here I had an example tonight. Housekeeper coming down with a bad throat. It's very strange. She's been very sympathetic for 3 days to her sister, who has a bad throat. Now she wonders why she's sick. And the doctor says, well, we don't understand quite what it is, but it seems to be going around. Well, what's going around isn't a bug. It's this contagion. Poor Eleanor. Eleanor was so sick today. Yes, you poor thing. Poor Eleanor. Poor Eleanor. Poor Eleanor. I think I'm coming down. Now, say, language. Somebody comes along, says, what's the matter, Isabel?
So what's wrong? I can't talk.
Oh, poor Isabel. Poor Isabel. Epidemic. It isn't that you want to become a hard-hearted fellow, but you scan out all sympathy. It's just that you want to get to a point where the human race can affect you that strongly, or where you can choose the effect, because your past points of sympathy fixed you so that you lost your power of choice by having used it. You became sympathetic in this direction, sympathetic in that direction. All of a sudden, your power of choice went up. All right. Then you run the rest of the emotion off the case. It's a very interesting material. 13th act, consisting is postulates. Just swamp this case up with postulates. Everything the person has said he was, wasn't, so forth, his whole life. And the 14th act may require a little more, just a little more, effort processing. There may be some effort processing. But what it is actually is a very nice, complicated procedure which could also be used earlier, but which consists of several buttons that you don't know about yet. In other words, you haven't got all your buttons yet. Now, it's a joke. Now, there are three things. In this new book coming up, there's a chart of all possible things that you can hit in the case. There are three things. There's cause and effect. And then there's the big boss button of all. The serious button. The serious button. Actually, those are two buttons, not three. I want to tell you about cause and effect. Out of cause and effect, we get full responsibility. This actually is a completely separate talk from anything I have been talking about today. It stands as its own unit. Before I leave that forever, I hope I've made the point with you that these 14 acts are run as fast as it's necessary to get the creature up to a point where you can hit the next step. That's as long as you linger on any one of those acts. It might look like a lick of a promise to you, but actually it isn't. Now, there's a possibility as we progress on this that there will be some change made in what happens in what act. But this is a form of operation which I can assure you will remain very consistent. And if the first four acts get changed anytime in the next 6 months, it'll be because we have found the magic syringe which you point at the free clear go, and the free clear go, and he's clear. I want to tell you about this cause and effect because it is almost the magic button. We have just gotten through taking God knows how many hours off of the completion of the case. What it's down to now, I don't know, because I haven't had a broad play. cause and effect. You already know the Jew is an individual, a representative of cause on 8 dynamics. Your representative of cause on 8 dynamics. Whether there is a common source for all life, and you are merely a representative of that common source with all of its characteristics, or whether or not you as an individual come from an independent source, is beside the point. It works out that you as an individual have the potential of causation in any field of action, anywhere, yourself, children, groups, mankind at large, the physical universe, all life, and even the static itself. Your cause. In order to have motion, in order to live, you also have to be an effect. You could be a cause without action. You see, a cause without action would be above 20. There would be no motion really connected with it, because it'd merely be potential. For instance, I can potentially pick up this ashtray. You see? Now you can say at this moment, I am the cause of any movement of this ashtray at this time. Then I move. You actually come down the tone scale to get into motion. You come down into an optimum range, in other words. Cause and effect. You are cause. But you go along very far and you find out that you want to eat. The moment you eat, you become an effect. There's nothing wrong with this, but it demonstrates how cause and effect interoperate. It works out, then, that you are a cause before you become an effect. And after you have become an effect, it is more difficult for you to be a cause again. Unless you start out all over again and decide to be, well, I'm cause again. Now I'm going into a chain of effects. A person does this when he says, I think I will live life now. He quits his job, he buys a motorcycle, and rides off to Puget Sound. He's cause again. See, he's deserted everything which was going to affect him. And to a large degree, he can also desert himself in the first dynamic. You'll find an individual every once in a while will postulate the fact that he's dead. Just almost out of thin air. I don't exist anymore. He says exactly that, really, when he says, I'm through with all that. When a girl says, I'm through with him. Finished. No more. She is also declaring that she is dead. She says, I'm going to go out into a new field. I'm going to go from here on and do something else. Now she's causing it. Life is an interplay of this business of cause and effect. You cause yourself to learn something so that you can perform an act, so that you will get paid, so that you can eat. You start from cause, wind up as having eaten. That's an effect. Of course, a few generations ago, you very often wound up by being eaten. That's by the point. Now this cause and effect add up to this. A person who says, I am not cause. Proof of the pudding is in the eating. This isn't just a metaphysical or mystical statement. This happens to resolve cases. A person says, I am not a cause. I didn't cause that. Now he's really off to the races. He will not blame self, but blames others. I didn't cause that. He blames something else. The second that he blames something else, he says, that thing is cause. it becomes more powerful in himself, it occludes, and it can thereafter affect him forcefully because the memory of it is not handleable by himself anymore. He said something else was to blame, so the memory of that something else is something beyond his ability to handle. He said cause is over there, therefore cause is there. What else is he saying? He's saying, I'm fed. There must be a cause and effect in this situation. What he did to me was horrible. He's done these horrible things to me, and so on and so on. A person, all the time he's saying this, is saying, he's cause. Cause is the big boss. How to make your enemies powerful and yourself weak. Dare to blame. You assign them as cause, you can't handle the facsimiles of them, and you are electing to be an effect of them. And thus, fashion, we get clusion. Now, the second you start blaming self, it's my fault, I'm to blame, so on, so on. By the way, if you get a relatively occluded case that has an occasional fragmentary visio, every visio that person has is where he has blamed himself. Blamed himself, followed with regret. So evidently, blame and regret are highly aberrated. Blame is the artificial or arbitrary election of cause. It's the introduction of an arbitrary cause. A person who says, it is my fault and I am to blame, is then stepping sideways from saying, I am cause. Because, you see, he is not accepting the fact that he caused something for which he can be blamed. He has to be able to accept cause regardless of what happens to the other person. Let's say he's in a fight and he busts somebody's nose. Then he has all of a sudden, well, I'm to blame. It's my fault. I'm sorry. Let me fix up your nose. Well, there's nothing wrong with fixing up the other fellow's nose. But the fellow said, I didn't cause it. I'm sorry that I caused it. I'm sorry that I am cause. I'm sorry I'm alive. It's the same phrase. I'm sorry I'm alive. I regret being an active causative force. I blame myself. That's the same thing as saying I regret the fact that I can cause. And the first moment that an individual says I regret that I can cause, he's saying I am not cause. And the second he says I am not cause, then he has to find something to blame. And this is rationalization. People go around explaining why this and that happened, explaining why it was, and the bus broke down, and therefore, that's why I'm late for work. Everybody looks at him kind of pityingly. Said, well, you shouldn't be late for work, coming this summer. This individual could run into all these circumstances and arrive late at the office. And what do you think would happen if the individual simply said, without any excuses, well, I'm late, I got up late this morning. How are you? Start writing at the desk. People would immediately get afraid of him. What's he done? He sat down and he hasn't negated way down at the bottom of the tone scale and says, I'm not cause. Everybody else is cause and everything else is cause. I'm not. The car broke down. I couldn't get the motor started. My wife didn't get me up in time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Instead of all this, he just simply says, oh, I'm what? There's nothing to be done with. Now, any and all rationalization becomes an assignment of cause. You get somebody with a, here, let's get practical now. A person has a psychosomatic illness. A person has a set of knees that are very bad. Says, I can't walk very far because my knees are bad. Now, I can't do this because my knees are bad. Cause is a what? A memory. The cause is a memory. The second you blame a memory and say that it is cause, you immediately and automatically negate your responsibility over it, and you're not able to handle it. And it will become a psychosomatic illness. It's just as simple as that. You're saying, I'm not responsible for this. Anything for which you are not responsible can really fix you up. What is the first symptom of a person low on the tone scale? The first symptom. A failure in carrying out responsibilities. You look at an individual very low on the tone scale and you will find an individual who will not persist in responsibility and who is very anxious not to have a responsibility. They've assigned in the past cause to this, cause to that, cause to something else. In other words, blame, blame, blame. All this is more powerful than I. And they then said, my environment is cause. And the second they said, my environment is cause, they said, I am controlled by my environment. Because they said immediately, I am an effect. And an individual who has achieved the ultimate in effect is dead. Now there's the interplay between the human mind and the human body. The human mind says, I am cause. And the human body says, I am effect. And so we have mystics. We have religionists. We have individuals since time immemorial saying, in order to escape it all and rise into the high strata of glory, you must negate the body. That must go by the boards. The body is effect. To an individual who doesn't occasionally get a kick out of being cause. You don't find very many mystics indulging in very much action. You want to cure somebody who misses them? The fastest way I know of, next to processing, what about a motorcycle? See how fast the thing will run. That's right. Get them interested in action, action, action. And this makes the body a cause. And as soon as you get into action, the body is a cause. And of course there's an end of track somewhere to it. The body, through all of this unrestrained action, will hit a brick wall or fall 500 feet or get a bullet in it or get a broken leg or something of the sort. But it's like they say, if a Cape cod with his mouth full of squid, he dies happy. A fellow has action. A fellow who goes out from action, which he himself is causing, oddly enough, heals up fast. But a fellow who goes out a fellow who gets knocked out without causing the action which led to it, he's in a bad way. Your soldier who goes over the top, we think very mawkishly about this individual being, oh, he's a poor hero. Of course, what he's poor about is the fact that he will come home and find out that he wasn't a hero, and people look at him and say, what Korean War? But the point is that this individual goes over the parapet. Actually, he's action. So he stops a slug, so it tears him up, so it kills him. So what? And that's about it. So what? He was in action. He had as good a chance of nailing somebody else as they had of nailing him. They don't go crazy from this. Where they go crazy is where they're not action. Where they have to sit at the quartermaster depot desk and fill requisitions. Where they have to hurry up at Fort Dix so they can wait. Where they realize the complete uselessness of the situation. Men actually don't even protest against close-order drill. They like close-order drill. But they sure as the devil hate to stand for 4 hours to start the drill and then stand for another 2 hours in line to eat supper. That's aberrant. I looked over the records. I had an interesting experience on this line. I was supposed to be the first casualty who came through from the South Pacific at the beginning of the war. I woke up in the bed of the hospital, and there was a little fellow standing there with glasses about that thick.
He says, "How many fingers?"
Well, I remembered an experience of a girl who was picked up on the street of New York taken to Bellevue, and somebody said, "How many fingers have I got?" And she said, 10, of course. And they said, "What time is it?" She says, "Well, it's 26 o'clock. What do you think? Get out of here. Who are you anyway?" Well, they kept her there for 10 days. So I said carefully, "One finger." He said, "What time is it?" I looked at the clock, and I said, "It's 7:32 and 16 seconds. This was a confused situation. It remained confused for about a week, merely because everybody knew that the stress of modern war was such that the human mind and human anatomy could not stand up to it. They knew they'd all been stateside ever since the war started. They knew. Well, it's very interesting. The hospital was full of psychos. And I walked around looking at these characters and noticing they had new bars up on this window, and that ward had been made into a psycho ward. And I said, "I didn't think anybody had gotten home here yet. What's this all about? These boys from Pearl Harbor?" "Oh, no. No, they're from the Navy Yard." You examine war neurosis, and you find out it happened so far from any field of action that it was the inaction. During the periods of time when London was under her heaviest bombardment, not one individual reported as psychotic. Think of the bad news they were getting. Dunkirk. Think of the bad news they were getting in the RAF. Think of the bad news that must have been thrown at them every day. "Well, Bill Sykes is dead, and Zoran got killed in the bombing last night. Your wife and baby just kicked the bucket. And we've not gotten them out of the wreckage yet," and so forth. "Well, this is great stuff. And we didn't get any psychos." Well, isn't this interesting? The body, in that case, was so busy effecting, being a cause of rescue, reconstruction, keeping alive, action. In other words, the body was being causative. And we got no psychosis. This is in this field of cause and effect. Now, an effect. An individual can sit down quietly. And if he sits still enough and concentrates on not being hard enough, he'll start to get all the counter efforts in the bank. What's he actually doing while he's sitting there? He's negating against all of the springboards of his own physical action. And the second that he does this, he says, "I can't handle it," so he starts to get this. The second a mystic gets the ambition to study yogi and sit quietly, ibis, mystery, wonderful stuff. Anyway, as soon as he gets the ambition to sit quietly in order to produce something, he has made a postulate where he has negated against his own ability to move, which immediately negates against the facsimiles of motion, and he'll start to get psychosomatic illnesses. Right away. Because he's suddenly in effect. The highest points of the tone scale are I am. I know. Cause. Those are the highest points. Cause. The lowest points. I am not. I do not know. Effect. Now here's something very funny that jumped into view. And you should really know this from cold. Because can you apply this in life? By the way, you could make anybody sick in a few minutes with this one. I'll tell you how in a couple minutes. I asked a question to myself last week. I said, what are interpersonal relations? And I got an answer. Anyhow, think I should tell them? Well, why not? Christmas season, nobody be wicked at this season of the year. All right. We'll take cause, effect. That little formula that says a person will not be aberrated unless he has consented to be aberrated. Well, there was nothing ever right. That is what in the rule. A person has to want to be aberrated before he's aberrated. Why can't you make some people get rid of their psychosomatic ills or their aberrations? Yeah, they want them, but they don't want them. They want something else. A person first opens up the door to aberration, psychosomatic illness, by desiring to be an effect. One has to have desired to be an effect in the area, the exact area where he is aberrated, or on the exact subject of his aberration, before he could afterwards suffer N theta, or that is to say, aberration, to come in on that channel. In other words, he opens up the door. He wants to be an effect. Now, dear old Sigmund Freud, he's probably had a couple of lives since. I wish I could get in touch with him. Because he was almost right. He was almost right. It's a very funny thing. He had no bridge built for this thing, and he missed it kind of wide. But nevertheless, on all the boys working in this field in the past, this fellow was closest to it. Miss is as good as a mile, but he was close. If he just kept on to find out what was this libido theory. If he'd been able to think long enough and far enough, he would have found out this point. Where does a person want to be the most effective? Sex. And boy, open the gates. Because a person wants to be affected on the second dynamic. He also wants to be affected on the first dynamic by food, which is almost as aberrated. So food, clothing, shelter, he wants to be a powerful, or he wants to be affected by the rights of some lodge or something of the sort. He wants to be affected by his fellow men. That's the third dynamic. But on that second dynamic, that's very, very interesting computation. Because the individual does not want to be, in this society, a cause. Children are hard to raise, they're difficult to get born, and sometimes there have been stratas of the United States which frowned upon children out of wedlock and so forth. So a person doesn't want to be a cause on the second dynamic. So right away they have negated cause, but they want to experience. So they want to be an effect. Now if an individual wants to be an effect and fails, then he gets a bad effect very easily. He wants to be an effect. The door is open to be an effect. Now he will be an effect all right. But it might not be what he expected. This is why lovers' quarrels are so tough. This is why Tin Pan Alley makes so much money. When they're writing about Moon, Spoon, June. Love. People want to be effective. That's why the Freudians made the terrible error of believing that all arts were in the field of the second dynamic. In the field of sex. The Freudians said, sex, art, they're all the same. Well, they were very confused people. But anyway, they were almost right. Because a person wants to sit in a theater and be affected. He wants to be pleasantly affected by art, music, so forth. Here he wants to be effects. If you want to clean up somebody's sonic, you look up the rank for any time they wanted to be affected by sound. You'll find them sitting at concerts and all that sort of thing. All of a sudden, bang! You'll probably trigger a grief charge. One of the easiest ways in the world to trigger a grief charge. Because somewhere along that line, the person wanted to be an effect and got something instead. But got it because he was an effect. So before any individual can be affected by a memory which causes psychosomatic illness, before he can be affected by a memory which causes aberration, he must have desired to be an effect in that field. And desired not to be a cause in that field. And that opened the gates. But it is not sex that causes the aberration. It's the failure. The person wants to be in effect and then fails in some fashion. This is why little kids get very easily aberrated on the second dynamic. And they do. Practically any case you want to go into, you'll find aberration on the second dynamic in this society. Because sex is for a bull. They realized a long time ago that it drove people crazy, so they said it's no good, so they could drive more people crazy. Now it works out for any dynamic. But where the individual is wanted to be in effect, he can then thereafter be aberrated on that dynamic. Where he negates being a cause, he can thereafter be in effect. Very simple. So awfully simple. Of course, it would be overlooked. And ask. I was just running the other day into some of this material, finding out what's blame, what's regret, what's this thing, full responsibility. Full responsibility is very interesting stuff. Once you have elected yourself to be a cause, you have elected yourself to be cause on 8 dynamics. Now afterwards, you all of a sudden blame God. Well, whether or not you are God, or whether or not the most God that you will know is in you, or whether or not you have the same characteristics as the 8th dynamic, or whether or not you have an actively operating channel right straight from God to you, we don't care. We don't have to answer that question. But we do know that when you blamed the Creator, start electing Him cause, the darndest things can happen. You started to blame yourself for blaming the Creator. Then you blame the Creator for having blamed yourself for having blamed the Creator. Start to get fun about that time. And the reason we have to talk about this is because you can solve cases with it. It's a necessary piece of modus operandi in auditing to know this cause and effect. All right? The individual then starts assigning cause for his ills, assigning cause and saying he is not cause. Aberration. The individual decides he'll be in effect, he'll be in effect, he'll be in effect. Aberration. You just don't take full responsibility by saying, well, I'm responsible for everything. So that's that. I'm afraid you have to run it. And cause, effect, and blame. And regret. If you were to take an individual and do nothing but this, get him to experience the emotion of regret. Just that one little emotion. The emotion of regret. You don't have to experience it full out. Just get him some vague shadow of how you feel when you regret something. And just have him scan the track. Scan all the regret off the track. Scan all the regret off. Scan all the regret off. Then turn around and say, all right. Now let's scan all the times you felt something else was the cause. And how it made you feel. Or the emotion of blame. Let's scan that off. Now let's feel how you feel when you blame yourself. All right, let's scan off all the times you ever blamed yourself. Sonic, visio, proprioceptive. Because it's all that's jamming up the track. The reason we have these acts is so that we can get into the state of affairs, which is step 14, which is cause, effect, full responsibility. You have to get the eye opened up a little bit sometimes. You would be utterly amazed as an individual. You as an individual, if you just suddenly sit down to yourself and say, how do I feel when I regret something? And then find a visio and then all of a sudden run some regret off of it. You will be utterly fascinated at what happens to that visio. It'll be the first time that you ever made a visio do tricks. Because, naturally, if you were blaming yourself, if you were blaming somebody else, If you are not taking responsibility for these facsimiles for your memory, how can you handle something for which you don't have responsibility? And if you regret an incident, you regret the memory. And if you busily regret this memory, how can you handle it and process it? Well, how can you handle it in thinking? How can you handle it in living? You can't. So there are several levels of this. There's cause, desire to be caused, and inhibition of being caused, or refusal to be caused. And there's effect. There's desire to be effect, and inhibition or negation against being effect. There's the fourth. Two for cause, two for effect. Now, believe me, you can play all you want around with examiners. You can pull all you want to with old standard procedure. But I assume you want action. I tried to talk to you with what I know and what I've tested and what has more or less come along. I hope nobody tries to pick out of it merely that which agrees with his own philosophy. Of course, nobody would do that. But the point we're making is we're dealing with something, don't quote me to Rollo May, who was a pastoral phrenologist. We're dealing with something that's awfully mechanical. We've got material and modus operandi. We've got a workability. We know these points about it. And I'm telling you how to fix a watch. And this watch is getting less and less complicated. It's gotten uncomplicated to the point now where it has a pendulum. It goes this way. And it turns a ratchet up here and turns the hands on the clock. That's how simple that clock is. Don't expect you to appreciate completely cause and effect until you've tried it. Where you wanted to be an effect, there you became an effect. You see, it's postulate, again, it's at the bottom of this emotion. I want to be affected by life, somebody says. If you pick up that one, you'll pick up the pin right out of why the environment can affect him. He's decided he wanted to be affected by his own environment. He decided he wasn't getting the fun out of life. But he wanted life to affect him. He wanted life to push him around. He didn't want to push life around all of a sudden. And boom! The life affected him, all right. That's why artists very often wind up low on the tone scale. It's because they want to render what life is like. So they desire to experience life. They say, oh, I want to experience it. I want to be affected by life. I want to fling myself into it and I want to have all the sensations that they get them. I sure get them. And negation of the being cause. Now, then, mind you, now this works on eight dynamics. If you refuse to be cause on another dynamic, say you're talking to a girl named Josie and you refuse to be cause for what's happening to Josie. The next thing you do, you'll find yourself being sympathetic. Being sympathetic is electing a cause as being exterior from Josie and you. See, here's Josie, here you, here is common cause or your cause, and so on. You're saying this should be, you're healthy for doing this because it'll also do this. But let's say here's you and Josie. Here you are, and you say, oh, poor Josie. You just cut that off. Just knock that out. The second you knock that out, you're not as alive as you were before. Sympathy. You have looked at Josie and elected to blame what Josie was blaming. Josie says, I have a sore throat which is caused by bacteria. I went to the doctor, and I was just lying there in agony, and you say, poor dear, I'm sorry you had, sorry you had. terrible. We have an epidemic in our office.
Yeah.
That's the way the epidemic runs. You say, isn't it terrible? And you get all upset about something happening in the society. You know, like reading any column of any page on the beat. And you say, boy, isn't that terrible? And isn't this terrible? Isn't something else terrible? You're sitting there signing cards. When you finish reading it, you feel terrible. Now, you can't evidently, and perhaps you can, simply step up to the great philosophic height of serenity and say, I accept the cause of all. Like some people work self-determinism. They go into the valence of Papa or somebody who was a 1-5, and they say, no, I'm self-determined. Well, that's tough. 25 of these, you kind of have to be processed up to self-determinism a little bit, at least process yourself up to it. Same way with full responsibility for everything that goes on in the universe, you have to kind of process yourself up to it. Now, this terrible thing happens en route in this process. Somewhere en route, you'll get up into the static, and you will sit there and you say, all right, I'm the cause of everything. So war, Tommy. You sit around for a couple of days being caused. You can see it clearly. You've processed out an awful lot of things. You've seen what assigning blame has done to you. And you've gotten up to a point where you're not afraid of assigning blame. You're not afraid of being caused and so forth. So you say, well, I'm caused. For a moment, a couple of days, you'll have a tough time. You'll have a real rough time being caused because you won't come down into motion. All of a sudden, you'll get tired of being caused. And you'll elect something as an effect. Or you'll say, all right, I'm an effect of something or other. And you can actually find yourself going to the point of saying, oh, those damn Russians. I'm mad at the Russians. You aren't at all. You're perfectly willing to take the whole thing for the Russians. You say, oh, those Russians, I'm mad. All of a sudden, you start taking interest in life. You get catalyzed. You go down the streets, you make yourself say, you're starting the same cycle all over again, by the way, on your posture. You say, these people that drive these cars are no good. They don't know how to drive. Now you can be nice and mad and drive down the highway and have a good time. But if you stay as cause, you won't do anything. Namesake of mine, a fellow by the name of Elbert Hubbard, used to have little journeys he used to write about. This is a little journey with a particular takes up through static and down again. And it's a very, very interesting trip. Fortunately, we know how to get a guy out of it. Just having him go around and elect some effects, elect some randomity, in other words. He won't stay in motion unless he does. And that's how it all begins all over again. So you can get yourself into more trouble. But of course, now you have a new weapon. You get yourself into too much trouble, process it out. So you get killed. So what? Now you realize that nobody could have understood this cause and effect or used it as a process or realized what was happening on the second dynamic in particular, where a person is very anxious to be a cause but anxious not to be a cause, wants to be an effect but can't be an effect. In other words, why you have so much trouble between marital partners. They want to be an effect of each other. Now you try to get them processing each other. Boy, does that louse things up. Very, very interesting what happens. They're both trying to be an effect, and each one wants the other one to be a cause, and they'll row about processing and everything else because they'll start talking about memory. Actually, we're talking on the second dynamic, don't realize. Now, the funny part of all this is we had to know a lot of things before they could spring out into view. This cause and effect is all right. If you were to take somebody cold out on the street, you suddenly say, cause, effect, cause, effect. All you have to do is take all responsibility for everything. You're all set. You wouldn't be able to get there. Because you're working with a tone scale, whereby you've got several columns. One of these columns is I am. That's the state of being. Down to I am not. Up here, I know. I know not. Here we have cause. Here we have effect. In here we have blame. In here we have shame. So forth. But it comes right straight across this scale. Try and get an individual to stop being an effect to this degree. Try and get an individual to stop being an effect. But he doesn't know. He'll hang up by this column. He doesn't know. And he'll come no higher than he knows. That's why you have 14 acts here. Very simple. You have 14 acts. And it doesn't matter what processing you do to this individual in those 14 acts, as long as you get up some of the service facsimile, as long as you finish off that last act completely, which is cause and effect, the establishment of full responsibility, it'll put the individual on his proper service center. But in those acts, as you come up the line, you're raising this column. He knows. So you have processing and education going on simultaneously. Therefore, you use these acts as fast as he knows what they are. He should be able to get subjective experience on each step so that he knows that that phenomenon exists for him. By the time he gets through to the 14th and you start establishing cause, effect, and blame, shame, and so on, assigning a cause to self, assigning a cause to others, deciding to be neither a cause nor an effect, that hangs in the middle, that's neither right nor wrong. Cause, by the way, is right, the effect is wrong. From the standpoint of the lifestyle. You've got him educated. Willy-nilly. You didn't sit there and explain to him. But you've shown him a sample of each of the phenomena. And he'll start to add this up. And when he gets to cause and effect, all of a sudden he's there to understand it. But that's why you have 14. That's why you shouldn't take very long to do them. The reason there's Act 15 there is because when you get through with cause and effect and start going back over the track again, you're going to find out that then, only then will you get all of the theta facsimile. There's still more of the service facsimile, or more facsimiles that he might use. That's why you reach Act 15. You get rid of the person's arthritis, so what's arthritis? Who are you? There's another button. Another button. I've mentioned this button a couple of times. Didn't know how important it was. It's all well to know these buttons, but to have them evaluated properly, that's something else. So cause and effect. There's the serious button. The serious button. Now, if you were to draw a graph, it would show right, wrong. Cause over here with right. Effect over here with wrong. Serious over here with wrong. Show you how that is. Here's a gradient scale of evaluation. How right something is would depend on how far it was out here. How wrong something is would be over here. So we have wrong over here. Now we have survived here, dead here, We have cause here. We have effect here. And if you understood completely that you were the complete and utter cause of everything, I pray it wouldn't be very serious to you. So we have something here which we had better call unserious. Strange, but there is no word in the language for it that I know of. The boys have missed it. We've all of a sudden... No, because there is no descriptive word in the English language of which I know that fills the exact meaning of it. So the boys, philosophy, etymology, mathematics, everything else has missed on this point. So we're obviously into a point which has no forebear. This point doesn't have background. We're being caused at this point. I'm serious. I know we're here for sure. That's down here. How serious can you get? Dead. By the time you go through life sympathizing with all of these individuals who are in such agony on a sympathy basis, considering that everything is serious, you've really fixed yourself up. Because every time you sympathize with something that everybody claims is serious, you go down the line to that point. Heck of an oath. This is a horrible thing to introduce into the society. It's brand new. It's making its debut right now. This is serious. Terrible. What do sergeants do after this? What do I do in the foundation? I go around to Dave and I say, I'm sunk. So I will have to say, well, I've just now elected you as a randomity area for me. You can elect all the randomity areas you want to, as dangerous as you want to. You can go out and juggle with bottles of nitroglycerin and get away with it, as long as it's not serious. What happens to an individual low on the stone scale? He makes mistakes. He causes self-destruction. He causes destruction on other individuals. He messes up things. He can't take care of mess. He will not carry forward responsibilities. He will accomplish nothing in life. All right, and what do we got? It's serious. If life gets really serious for an individual, his value gets practically zero. Now, you can hang up in the middle and say, well, I negate against everything being serious. I don't think it's serious. No, it's not serious. That's an individual trying to get up here. Well, you can do it with processing. Very simple technique. All you do is scan everything off a person's life where anybody has ever claimed anything was serious on any dimension. That's all. That's the process. And the real finish-up, bang-up process of all processes would be to scan everything from the earliest moment you could find on the track, no matter how many eons ago, and simply scan off every postulate or thought that something was serious. Just take it all out of the bag, right on up to present time. I'll make you a bet. But you could take an individual who, for instance, is a sportsman. Let's say he's a golfer. And all you do with him is scan off everything that was ever serious to him. You spend a couple of hours with him, working him over, knock out all the seriousness, and knock from 5 to 30 strokes off of his game. Just as fast as that. Because it's only when handling a golf club has to be done in a certain fashion by rote and right and so on that a person gets to be a bad guy. When you were a little kid, you could step into the valence of almost anybody and do it. You ever have an older sister or brother going to dancing school or something? The most horrible thing you could have done was to suddenly waltz in and go through this dance step and say, is that it? They'll convince you it's serious. Now, driving a car is serious business, and if it's serious enough, you'll wreck it. Running a business is serious enough, and if you worry... Now, what are people trying to cure themselves of? They're trying to cure themselves of worry. Anxiety. Grief. Disturbance. They want to have peace. That's the worst thing in the world you want, by the way, is peace. You don't want... You want action. Person that won't go out and get arrested once in a while for driving too fast, I'm wrong. Well, all of these conditions sum up to the serious part. A person worries because something is serious. It's very doubtful if an individual will be able to improve his lot in life in any way or degree as long as he considers it terribly serious that he is not able to. And is trying to overcome these serious obstacles. You can practically guarantee that an individual would starve to death if he thought eating was serious enough. Did you ever see a food faddist? Let's see, we'll have 18 and a half protein units of walnuts. Look where they are on the toaster. In other words, the more serious they get about food, the worse off they are on the subject of food. And it precedes their ulcers. Getting serious about food precedes the ulcers. All right. The serious part. You just take any time during first lifetime. What is the emotion of thinking something is serious? Oh, let's just scan that emotion off the whole bank. Let's just take it off the kids. Let's not do the 14 act. Let's just do that one. The individual says, but I can't do it. My case is in bad shape. It's serious. That's fine. All seriousness on your face. Well, you're just mocking me, but I will do it anyway. Life is too serious. Life is not serious to you. It's one of the main complaints. You'll find out the only thing there is aberrating about dying is the fact that you considered it serious at the time. How do you train children? All you do is convince him it's serious. Take a puppy dog, he's dancing around, having a good time. You say, life is serious. Pretty soon he gets the idea. Yes? The ancient Italian really knew what he was talking about when he considered the only psychotherapy there was laughter. Thank you very much.